Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for joining this morning's Hilchos Pru Urvul Shulchan Aruch Evan HaEzer Shir. This morning's topic is one and a half. We'll see if we get to the second. The first topic that we're going to talk today is the halachos of marrying a Baalas Tshuva. And Yaron pointed out to me that the daf yesterday actually is the Gemara we're going to be learning this morning. It's the Gemara I mentioned at the very end of last year. And Be'ez Hashem, we'll learn it now right. Those of you who are holding within the daf will be very happy to get a little chazara for the daf. But it's not the kind of gemara that's so hard that you need to that I'm sure that the gemara that you need to chaz a little more than this line. But nevertheless, chazara is always wonderful. So let me just adjust my screen, and then there we go. Okay, Boker Tov. So the Gemara that we saw the very end of last year, the Gemara that you saw yesterday in the Daf, those of you who are on the Daf, Tan Rabbanan, La'olam Yimkar, there's Pesachim Daf Mem Tesem and Beis, La'olam Yimkar Adam Kol Ma Sheyesh Lo V'Yisa Bas Talmud Chacham. So this is saying that try to get good Yichus, right? You want a Shver who's a big Talmud Chacham. Lo Matza, we saw last week the different levels of hierarchy in who you should marry. If you can't get a Talmud Chacham, get a Gadol Hadar, which again does not mean, like we think, you know, Chaim Kanievsky, it means, you know, communal, you know, the Rosh Kahal, the president of the shul. Lo Matzabas Gadol Hadar, Yisabas Rosh Ekenesios, Lo the Gabbai, Lo Matzabas Rosh Ekenesios, Yisabas Gabbai Tztaka, Lo Matzabas Gabbai Tztaka, Yisabas Melamedi Tinokas, you should marry the daughter of a second grade Rebbe. But under all circumstances, lo yisa bas ameh haaretz. And this is the line that we're going to be focusing on. What are the parameters that a person should not marry the bas am haaretz? And the Gemara has some very colorful descriptions of how we consider someone who marries the bas am haaretz. Mepnei shehen sheketz, unisho sehen sheretz. It's a funny description. The Talmud Chacham, I'm sorry, the Am Haaretz is a Sheketz, and his wife, I assume that means the Mrs. Am Haaretz, is a Sheretz, and therefore their children are subject to the prohibition of Al Benosehim, meaning the girl you're going out with, who's a Bas Am Haaretz, who Omer Aru Shochim and Kol Behema, the Gemara does not mince words here. I know you're not supposed to call people Behemas. Yet the Gemara does that here. So we have to figure out what is the definition. And last week we mentioned briefly a fascinating Chazal which clarifies this point. Chazal say that an Am Haaretz, you're allowed to basically slaughter him. You're allowed to kill him. It doesn't mean literally, it doesn't mean that we do it nowadays, but on some level, you're some permission to, you know, to kill, to slaughter somebody who's an Am Haaretz. That doesn't mean that we should go ahead, you know, killing people who don't reach the level of observance that we do. So Tosafot already points out that obviously the Am Haaretz that we're talking about here is somebody who has a history of being dangerous for the Jewish community. B'makir v'kofes v'kofer l'haches. What kind of Am Haaretz is this Gemara speaking of when it says you're allowed to kill the person? Clearly he's a risk to you, to the community. He's a risk of potentially, if you don't get rid of this person, he could cause deaths to the Jewish community. Yeah, Baruch Hashem, Baruch Hashem. The Harigasa Kuma Pikuach Nefesh Tosa says, Shulistin, he's the kind of person who turns people in, he's a bandit. Choshed al Hadamim, that's the kind of Am Haaretz we're talking about. Because otherwise, how could the Gemara say that you're allowed to kill him? Even on Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to kill anybody ever. So clearly it's talking about somebody who's so bad, he's not just like a not religious person. He's not just a person who, you know, doesn't wear our kind of our color hat or our color yarmulke. He's somebody who is murderous. And that's the Am Haaretz who we shouldn't marry. That's the simple, that's at least the Am Haaretz who, one version of an Am Haaretz. Now, let's see how it's brought down into the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to see some fascinating applications as far as halacha l'maisa, who's included in the kinds of families that you want to avoid when you do marry into it. And we also have to figure out to what extent does a young woman who you're going out with, to what extent does her education play a role in determining her status? Meaning, if you have a woman who's the daughter of a terrible man, but she herself has worked on herself, has attended the best, you know, she went to BJJ, she went to all the right, seminaries, and she's the star Chumash teacher in Tag and Benos Beis Yaakov. Does that somehow, vindicate the fact? Does that somehow, allow her to erase the fact that her father's a miserable Am Haaretz wretch? Or is it something that you're branded with for life if your father's an Am Haaretz and no good, upstanding Jewish boy should marry you, despite whatever you've achieved through your own educational and your own religious growth process? So let's see how the Shulchan Aruch basically quotes the Gemara as we know it. The Gemara concludes, Yisa Bas Melamdi, to find Al Yasi Bitul Am Haaretz. This is the flip side. Before the Gemara, the Gemara said, you should make sure you marry a Bas Talmud Chacham. This Shulchan Aruch is the flip side, that you should marry off your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, and don't marry your daughter to an Am Haaretz. Don't marry your daughter to an Am Haaretz. So if you have a daughter, you don't want to marry your daughter to a terrible person. That makes a lot of sense. Now, I have a very simple question. There are a lot of Gemaras about Talmidei Chachamim throughout Shas, and they are in different contexts. There are certain halachas of Kavod Talmidei Chachamim. There are halachas of Talmidei Chachamim who don't have to pay defense taxes because their Torah learning provides defense to the city. There are halachas about Talmidei Chachamim here in our context about who you should marry. And we have so many different halachas that specifically specify Talmidei Chachamim. My question is a Talmud Chacham of our time the same Talmud Chacham, or level of Talmud Chacham, that is referenced in Shas? Meaning, in Shas, the Talmud Chacham, the Amoraim, in the time of the Gemara, were obviously, clearly, on a totally different plane than the guy that you and I say, I'm so happy to hear your daughter just got engaged. I heard he's a real big Talmud Chacham. A guy who's learning for 3 years in Torres Chaim, or in Lakewood, or wherever it is, or even in Brisk. Even after he comes back from 2 years in Brisk, is that the Talmud Chacham? I don't think he's an Amora. No offense to any of your children or daughters-in-law or sons-in-law or whoever it is. But on the other hand, for us, this is where we are in history, and maybe he is the Talmud Chacham in our eyes. So the Pesachei Tshuva points out that there is an opinion of the Marivayel. Marivayel was an early Rishon, Ashkenaz Rishon. And the Marivayel writes that the Din Talmud Chacham Sha'am Chazal We don't have the Talmud Chacham of Shas. And the halachas of Talmidei Chachamim that you see described in Shas do not apply nowadays. Oh, so I guess now it's a free-for-all. So I could marry my daughter to whoever I want, because anyway there are no real Talmidei Chachamim. So whatever the Gemara said about marrying a Talmud Chacham, marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or not marrying your son to a Bas Talmud, looking for a Bas Talmud Chacham, I guess that all doesn't apply nowadays because we don't have a Talmud Chacham nowadays. Says the, I don't know who he's quoted with, says the Pesachei Tshuva, no. That's true about all the halachas, but not this one. Mikol makom l'inyan zeh, lisa Bas Talmud Chacham, nira deshap yer nohig bizman hazeh. This halacha of marrying a Bas Talmud Chacham or a girl marrying a Talmud Chacham, that halacha does indeed apply nowadays, even though the regular definitions of what constituted Talmud Chacham may have drastically changed since Shas, and maybe there are numerous halachas that don't of a Talmud Chacham that do not apply to our level of Chachamim, but this halacha of marriage, who you should look to marry, definitely does apply. Hold on. Just a little adjustment. Great. And now the Pesachei Tshuva sort of makes everybody feel good and say, sometimes you have a really great Talmud Chacham who is not necessarily the guy you want for your daughter. Just because he's a Talmud Chacham, there are other things that matter. We're not saying that you should look only for Torah, and he could be a miserable wretch of a person. He could be an evil, conniving, Ilui. Right, he's an Ilui, but he's a terrible person. So does that mean just because the Talmud Chacham go marry him or go marry his daughter? Just because no, the lo hamidrashu ikar el hamaisa. Isn't that a beautiful language to apply in this scenario? It's not just the learning, the maisa, the fact that he lives a life of a Talmud Chacham. The point is not just to have somebody who's an Eloi and has an IQ of, 194 and learns Shas Baal Peh, but he smokes on, he smokes on the way home from the Daf Yomi on Shabbos morning. We don't want somebody who is, a flying genius Talmud Chacham, but he doesn't live it. He does not Yirei Shemayim. He has to, of course, have the Yirei Shemayim. That's the important thing. Okay. V'hakol Hashem Shemayim, that's a general catch-all phrase to tell us that when you're looking for marriage, sometimes, a little bit like this, it's not exactly the way Chazal might articulate their words, but the point is you have the right kavanas. You have to marry a person who's going to help you grow in Avodas Hashem. Fine. That's a little bit as far as how we apply it nowadays. Interestingly enough, the Rama quotes that last line of the Gemara that had its strong language about who these people are. The Rama quotes those la halach in the Shulchan Aruch. The Alpino Sehen who Omer on the daughters of a Talmud Chach of an Am Haaretz. It says Aru Shochev Im Behema. Somebody who lives with who marries the daughter of an Am Haaretz is considered that husband who married the daughter of an Am Haaretz is considered living with a behema. This woman's being called a behema. Wow, we'll have to see a little bit. Why such strong language? Okay. So here the whereas, before we saw Tosus suggest that there is a type of Talmud Chacham who's like murderous, who you're allowed to kill, Rama doesn't go with that definition. Even if you're not that kind of person, you still have to stay away, even somebody who's Eino Medaktik B'mitzvos. So the simple reading of this Rama sounds like it's telling us that a father of a girl who's not religious, that's presumably an example of someone who's in a medaktik b'mitzvos, that daughter, the daughter of such a person, I think in English we call her balas tshuva, potentially might have this status of the person who should be avoided. Now, that is a very telling statement, because if we would have just had the definition we had earlier from Tosus, it sounds okay. As long as your future father-in-law is not like an axe murderer, he's not like a serial killer, you're fine. But here, the Rama doesn't quote that Tosus. The Rama quotes a Torah that says that he was not a medaktik b'mitzvah, you shouldn't marry such a girl. Now, maybe you'll tell me, maybe it's even talking about a guy who's officially Orthodox, but he's not, he's marginally Orthodox. He's not careful in his mitzvahs. Is that also something to avoid? So if you look at the Torah inside, the Torah, you see here this I don't know who wrote this little word in parentheses, the word Torah on the end of the Rama, where he says you shouldn't marry, the Am Haaretz, this definition is somebody who's not medaktik b'mitzvos. If you look at the Torah itself, he says it very differently and very significantly differently. Because I know a lot of people who are not religious, who have wonderful daughters. I know a lot of people who are officially religious, but not careful about halacha, and are not medaktik b'mitzvos, who also have wonderful daughters. But look what the Tur says about who this father is. The Tur says it with a very specific definition of who the Am Haaretz, whose daughter you're supposed to avoid. V'lo b'chol Am Haaretz ka'amar. Not any Am Haaretz you have to avoid. It's okay if you shver as an Am Haaretz. What kind of Am Haaretz must you avoid? Their daughter, says the Tur. Ela b'mishu chashud la'avor lahachis. He's a lahachis, Nick. It's not just the guy who... He's not so honest in business because it's hard for him because he wants money. It's not a guy who it's hard for him to eat in, only kosher restaurants because he likes other food. It's not just the guy who, doesn't make it to mincha because he's in the city. It's not just the guy who, doesn't do this because it's hard. It's a guy who knows what the halacha is and he chooses, he could go to the kosher restaurant, then he chooses instead to go to the treif restaurant. There's one on each corner, and if Badafka goes to the treif restaurant, that's the Am Haaretz whose daughter you must avoid. So that tour is a little bit comforting, because again, plenty of people, plenty of men who have wonderful, non-religious men or men who are not so careful about halacha, their daughters are wonderful. But the father is, at least respectful, even if he's not respectful, he's not just didn't have the education, but he's not a lahachisnik. Most father-in-laws, again, there are exceptions, but most father-in-laws are not lahachis. So most daughters of those men, even if the father's not so religious, and even if the daughter herself was a balas tshuva, she's not a product of this father who's an Am Haaretz as defined by the Torah of chashud lav or lahachis. The issue is, that's the Torah. The Rama doesn't quote that halacha. you know, even though, again, that word tour that you see here sounds like he's quoting the Torah, but we look at the Torah, we said that's not the case. The Torah said something more lenient. He said, as long as the Yeshvera isn't a lahachis, like you're fine. But the Ramah didn't say that. The Ramah said, as long as Yeshvera is, he should be a medaktik b'mitzvahs. So it's a little bit of it's a little bit different, I think. The Beis Shmuel, who's commentator on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, of course, comments on this point, on this differentiation, but this distinction between the way the Ramah presents it, the way the Torah's original version presents it. And he tells you to look at some of the early Achronim. I am the Beis Yosef and the Drisha and the Bach, these are all the Mefarshim on the Torah. And we're asked, the Torah says that it's only a problem if he's over Lahach, if Yeshver is over Lahachis. They say, these early Mefarshim on the Torah say, no, even if he's not over Lahachis, it's still to be avoided. Mikomakom kevin sh'over al mitzvah v'yodeya ha-mitzvah. That's something to avoid. Nemar lav hein sheketz v'rish sh'sein sheketz. So everyone sort of agrees that the Shver doesn't know, he doesn't know halacha. He doesn't know that there's something called, you know, I don't know, mincha. He doesn't know that there's something called kashrus. He doesn't know there's something called Shabbos. So we're not worried. But there's no tainus against him. We're talking about somebody who, so again, the Torah says he's a lahachesnek. These mefarshim, all the mefarshim at Torah, no, we don't accept that. But it's only a problem if the father-in-law knows and he doesn't do it. Meaning, that's what we call Murul L'Teyavod. He doesn't have to be L'Hachisnik, but even if he's a Murul L'Teyavod, he knows the halacha. He knows that you're not allowed, that you have to keep Shabbos, but it's hard to keep Shabbos, because that means I can't go golfing. It's hard to keep Shabbos, because that means I can't, you know, take my wife to out to dinner Friday night. It's hard to keep kosher, because, you know, where I live, you know, out, you know, on, you know, in Syosset and Massapequa, we don't have any kosher restaurants by us. So that's, according to the tour, you can marry his daughter. He's not a lahachis, right? But according to the way he's quoting here, the Beis Shmuel, these early Mefarshia tourists, is that something that also should be avoided. Kevet she'ovra mitzvos, v'yodeya mitzvah. He knows the mitzvah, but he's a mumer l'teyavon. It's hard for him. He doesn't want to do it. Okay. So I know what we said until now makes life a little bit difficult, because it means that it's not just a matter of who the girl is, it's a matter of who the family is. Everything we've learned now really doesn't tell us anything about how nice or how Yirei Shamayim, how well-educated the girl is. Again, you have a Balas Tshuva who goes to BJJ, that's, you can't marry her. Comes the Taz and says something incredible. We're going to see two Tazes. Both Tazes are significant and go in a certain direction, and you'll see their commonality in just a moment. The Taz is bothered by very unusual language. Let me find it for you, please. If you look back at the Gemara says that the daughter of an Am Haaretz is, I'm sorry, the Am Haaretz is a sheketz. His wife is a sheretz. Why that unusual metaphor? Say that they're evil. Say that we don't like them. But why the metaphor of a sheretz? They're like a creepy crawly. They're disgusting. So look at this very fascinating Taz. The Taz comments on this halacha in Siman Beis. The Taz says, Why did the Gemara call the wife of an Am Haaretz a sheretz? He says, because that presumably is relating specifically to one very specific halacha. Mashma dekoi al inyane nida. Presumably, the fact that we're calling this mother of the girl I'm going out with a sheretz, presumably he's talking about the fact that the mother doesn't know about inyani nida, because nida tzrich yadia brurali zara ma'od mizeh v'kem shabal ama'aretz v'ena yachol lamda. The husband doesn't know anything about hilchas nida, so he's not going to be able to teach his wife about hilchas nida, so the wife isn't nida. And therefore, why is this woman called a sheretz? Because what does the word sheretz mean? It doesn't just mean a creepy crawly animal. It doesn't just mean an insect. It also means that's which like uvnei so paru vayishritzu. They sort of multiplied. They sort of burst out in numbers. It's a way of saying that they gave birth. Al kein hem kari sheres shu shoritz umolid beisr. I mean, the problem is specifically that there's a birth, that this girl you're going out with was born beisr, but this woman was born as a bas nida. That's the problem specifically. It's not just that your shver is good for nothing. The problem is that your wife was born from this prohibited union of this violation of Hilchas Nida. That's what the Taz says is the reason why the wife of an Amoris is called a Sheretz in Chazal. Fasting. Milasha Shoretz, Vayishritzu. Here it's not used as a bracha at all, but it's that point of multiplication, meaning that they're the birthing from disgustingness. That's what the Taz is suggesting. So what he means, it must be that their birth process, which is the fact that Nida was violated, that's what made them be born. This girl that I'm going out with be born, that seems to be the issue. So I didn't quote the Rav Moshe Feinstein. Rav Moshe Feinstein in his Tshuvas, you might have heard, raising the issue of should we be concerned with a bas nida, of going out with a woman whose parents might not have been careful about Hilchas Nida. So Moshe says something fascinating. He says, there's no iser, of course, of marrying a bas nida. There's no halachic prohibition. It's that we assume that somebody who's born from this prohibited union might not have good midos, but if you're going out with a girl and she has great midos, so it must be that, you know, the parents, before she was born, the parents, obviously, it was a time of month that worked out, and the mother might have been gone swimming in the ocean before, not long before that, and everything's fine. You don't have to be worried about a bas nida. So that takes care of this very specific point. So Ramosha, at least with Ramosha, says, from a practical purpose, one needn't be concerned that the parents weren't shomer hilchas nida. If the girl you're going out with is indeed a good Balas Midos herself, so that proves that there's nothing to be worried about of the potential pagam Midos of somebody who would be a Bas Nida. But now I want to show you something incredible. This same Taz, on the next line of the Shulchan Aruch, where it says that if you marry such a girl, you're a Shochev and Behema. So look at what the Taz does. He says, you didn't learn Rashi on that Gemara. When that Gemara says that if you marry a girl who's a basam ha'aretz, whose mother, whose father are ame ha'aretz, Rashi says, what's wrong with the girl? The mother-in-law, the father-in-law are ame ha'aretz. The girl I'm going out with, she's a great girl. Pesh Rashi, shedomas lebehema, she'en lahem leiv lahavin, ki chayecha v'orech yamecha. Let's look at those words again, please. In what way is this woman that you're going out with like a behema? Because a behema knows one thing. Behema knows about food, sleep, reproduction. That's about all. What else does a behema do? A behema doesn't have any spiritual aspirations. That's the distinction between a behema and a human. A human could contemplate liberty, democracy, things that are not physical. A behema doesn't. In a more serious way, a human could contemplate in Yanei Olam Haba, in Yanei Ruchni, in Yanim Ruchniyim, as opposed to Behema. Look at Rashi. Shadomos lebehema she'en lehem leiv lehavin ki hu chayech v'orech yamecha. If you marry somebody who doesn't have an appreciation of Torah, this is what Rashi and the Gemara is saying, then that's why they're like a behema, because they don't appreciate what Torah is. Oh, okay, so that's why, that's the problem of marrying such a girl. They don't have an appreciation of Torah. Well, let's see what the Taz is going to do with this understanding of the Gemara that Rashi provides. Nira Lefi Dvarav, he's going to say a gigantic chiddush right now. What he's going to say is a beautiful idea. I'm going to say it outside first, then we'll see it inside. Why do people, what's the difference between marrying like the daughter of Rosh Yeshiva, if all is well? I'm not talking about one who's, went off the derech, but like, what's the difference between Rosh Yeshiva's daughter and, let's just say a person whose father wasn't a girl whose father wasn't a Rashi. Well, a Rosh Yeshiva's daughter, she sees what it is. She knows that Torah is the the be-all, the end-all. Torah is the goal of a family. Torah is the way to build a family. But it's more than that. Look what he says. It is the teva of Nashim, Shivatlu ba'alei mitor, b'tzvil shem surim shemikoach ze yis'asku b'schoros. V'yelam tovo solam hazeh. You tell your wife, I'm not talking about going to Daf Yomi at 6:30 in the morning or at 8 o'clock at night. You tell your wife, sweetheart, I decided I'm going to learn half a day. So is her first reaction going to be, wonderful, we're getting more Olam Haba? Or is her reaction going to be, how are we going to pay the bills? We have to make a wedding soon. We have kids in yeshiva. We have to support our grandchildren in yeshiva. What do you mean you're going to quit? You're going to work half a day? You're not going to go to work half a day? What do you mean? You know, go learn at night. Learn, wake up early. What do you mean you're not going to go? Why? Because they assume that because you're going to learn more, you're going to end up, I mean, the opposite. If you do more business, you're going to make more money. And if you make more money, you're going to have a better Olam Hazeh, right? And they're nervous. Women are nervous. It's just natural for, you know, women are programmed to be nervous that if you're not going to have money coming in, then if you're going to be learning more and working less, you're not going to have Olam Hazeh properly. I realize, of course, she knows that there's going to be better Olam Haba. Of course she realizes that. That's a given. We're not questioning that. Of course she realizes there's a better Olam Hazeh. There's a better Olam Haba. But she's nervous because it's going to be at the risk of losing a little bit of Olam Hazeh. You know, they say, I'd love to get more Olam Haba, but, you know, I have to get to Olam Haba. You know, there's another, you know, I want to live a good life first. No, I'll get to Olam Haba. I want a good Olam Haba, but, you know, I have to get there. I still want to get there in a Lexus. I still want to get there in a Corvette. I don't want to get to Olam Haba in a 1974, you know, Toyota Corolla Jalopy. I don't know if there was a Toyota Corolla in 1974, but I have to get there. But that's missing the point, says the Taz. You're missing the point. When you learn, it's not that when you learn you're going to get a good Olam Haba. When you learn, that is going to bring you Olam Hazeh. And that, says the Taz, is what this girl might not realize. Be'emes eno kein, elhi chayecha. Look at what Rashi said. Do you remember that Rashi? This very unusual Rashi says, why is the Basam Haaretz called a Sheretz or a Sheketz? You're marrying a behema. Don't want the behema because they don't appreciate ki hi chayecha v'orech yamecha. Why did Rashi choose that pasuk that describes learning Torah? Says the Taz because it's a chazal on that pasuk. Ki hi chayecha v'orech yamecha. What's the double lashon of chayecha v'orech yamecha? Chayecha v'olam hazeh v'orech yamecha v'olam shekulu arach shu olam haba. It's hard for a Bas Am Ha'aretz to appreciate. Of course, even the Bas Am Ha'aretz knows that you get Olam Haba for learning and appreciates the Olam Haba that you get for learning. But you know what might be hard for them to appreciate? That even Olam Hazeh is a rarefied, elevated type of existence for one who is learning Torah. And therefore, if you marry a woman who doesn't have the appreciation, of course she appreciates Torah as a way to acquire Olam Haba. And it's a great thing to do as long as you could wake up early and do it late at night, but don't miss work. But to miss work and lose out on the pleasures of what we want to buy, and on the kind of house I want to build, on the kind of car I want to drive, on the kind of clothes I want to wear, on the kind of couch I need to furnish my house with, you can't do that because I'm going to miss out on Olam Hazeh. Oh, that's the difference. Abbas Talmud Chacham has an appreciation that realizes that even Olam Hazeh is an elevated Olam Hazeh experience for a person who's learning Torah. Hu chayech b'olam hazeh, besides v'orech yomech l'olam haba. Fabulous. What a beautiful, I'm saying, this is a good musa. I think I should sell this to some mashgiach in yeshiva. This is a beautiful part, that it's not just a matter of Olam Hazeh, you know, getting a good Olam Haba. If you learn Torah, you dedicate yourself to Torah, there's Olam Hazeh that a person could acquire. But you know what just comes out of this understanding? If that's the part, that it's somebody who doesn't appreciate Torah, and that's what you're trying to avoid, and that's why you want to marry a family where it's part of the, you know, she nursed, this girl who you're marrying, nursed from her mother's milk the beauty of Torah and the chashivas haTorah, well, what happens if you, a woman, have a girl who you're going out with who didn't nurse that from her mother's milk, who didn't grow up in a family like that, but she became a tremendous balas aliyah, and she went to the right seminary, and she loves Torah, and She's not necessarily a total product of her home. She's partially a product of her education, which was a very fine education. You see the following, says the Taz. V'lamadu midivrei Rashi elu, that the whole point is a woman who appreciates the value of Torah and the type of different type of home that is cultivated when there's Torah in the home. Shemnimtza bas la'amara shi chachama. She's a wise, you're going out with a wise girl. Umevina inyan shezacharnu. And she understands the value of Torah, not just in Olam Haba, but even in building a home of Torah. Ein baze iser mitzad shaviyata am haaretz. There's no problem of marrying this girl. Because the whole problem is, says Rashi, it's not a biological issue. This is not a hereditary psul of a bas am haaretz. This is a cognitive psul. A cognitive psul, she doesn't have the appreciation of what a Torah house is. And therefore, if you're going out with a girl who has fostered for herself an appreciation of what it means to live a life of Torah and to be dedicated to Torah and to have Talmud Torah in the house, not just in the future for her Olam Haba, but she realizes that it even changes the style of the house and even changes the, it brings a certain simcha to and a sense of purpose and meaning to a life as you live in Olam Hazeh itself, such a woman is a wonderful girl to go for. Oh, her father is an Am Haaretz? Doesn't matter. Her father is a mumla teavon? Doesn't matter. Her father is a mumla hachis? Doesn't matter. Her father is a serial killer? Still doesn't matter. She's a wonderful girl. I didn't see it inside, but I remember hearing, maybe some of you heard the same thing, I remember hearing that the Chazon Ish said that every girl who goes to Beis Yaakov, you know, it doesn't have to be Beis Yaakov specific, I'm not, you know, locking myself into the specific Beis Yaakov, but a girl who goes to a Beis Yaakov, who goes to a school, to a, in an educational system where Torah is appreciated and respected, so every Beis Yaakov girl has a din of a Bas Talmud Chacham. And that's certainly what the Taz is saying. That's not just a matter of who the father is. It's not just a matter of who the, you know, how long the father's coat is and how long the father's beard is. But it's a matter of who the girl is, which again is something that we assume is obvious, but you see how beautifully the Taz presents it, that the difference between a Bas Am Haaretz and a Bas Talmud Chacham is somebody who realizes that even their Olam Hazeh is a different level of Olam Hazeh if it's a Torah-informed lifestyle. And therefore, if we come out from with this as our bottom line, it seems very clear that one who ascertains that the girl they're going out with has these attitudes towards Torah and towards appreciation of Torah, then such a girl is certainly very very appropriate for a shidduch, regardless of the fact that her father may or may not be an Am Haaretz. Now, this Taz, who tells us that the point of marrying a Bas Talmud Chacham is really because she appreciates what Torah is, that brings us to an interesting question. Let's say you have a choice. Let's say in yeshiva you have a choice. You could either marry you're going to marry a girl who wants you to be learning, wants you to be involved in learning. But there are two opportunities. You can marry either a Bas Talmud Chacham, or you can marry the daughter of a rich guy who is going to help you learn. Right? This is an interesting question. What are you looking for? You're looking for a guy, a father-in-law. We said it's all about the learning, right? So if your father-in-law is going to say, you know, he did dirty stuff on the, he did dirty stuff in business. He did dirty stuff, you know, in the stock market. But now he has the money. He could say, I want you to sit and learn for 5 years. I'll take care of you. I'll follow you. I don't know where that money came from, but whatever. I'll finance you for the next 5 years. Oh, you marry a Bas Am Haaretz. You know, the father is learning and he's, you know, Kol HaChazanish, and he's been learning, his father learns for his whole life and he's learning his whole life. And now he has a, you know, wonderful tzaddikus daughter who wants a guy who's also going, but they don't have anything to put on the table. So how are we going to do this? So look at this fascinating Pesachei Tshuva. Again, I'm not telling you practically because, you know, between you and me, I think we all realize that the truth is that if a young lady is accustomed to a lavish lifestyle, it's going to be very hard to her for her to spend a life living a life of Torah, Torah only, I should say. She needs that lavish lifestyle to be maintained. On the other hand, somebody who is accustomed to sacrificing for Torah, living with whatever we have, because Torah is what we have to live for. So obviously that type of person could probably end up learning longer. But just as far as generality, that's on the ground perspective. But look, this is a fascinating, I want to share this Pesach Chu with you. So he's pointing out the ties that we just learned, who says that the whole point of, right, that was the ties that we just learned, that if you, the whole point is an appreciation of the Torah. That's what you're looking for. Normally, an Am Haaretz's daughter does appreciate Torah, but if you have an Am Haaretz's daughter who does appreciate Torah, you're fine. Based on that, Taz, who learned from Rashi, that if a Bas Am Haaretz understands that learning with Torah even brings joy and meaning and value to an Olam Hazeh existence, Lefizeh, accordingly, we could argue the following. I'm not sure everyone's going to like this, but I'm presenting to you what it is. Im hi bas ashir, if you have a daughter of a wealthy person, umaspik lechosno, and he's going to provide for his son-in-law, meaning to learn, shari, it's going to be mutter, even if the father's an Am Haaretz, right? If the father's an Am Haaretz, we said, it's us, you can't marry her. But if the father's an Am Haaretz, but he happens to have set up a trust for her, she has $1 million in a trust fund, and they're going to be able to live. This Chasan Kala will be able to live, and he'll be able to continue learning. Because the whole point is, Kikol HaKpeda, the whole problem with marrying a Bas Am Haaretz, Shlotis Yisehil, Yisasik Beschor, that she's going to distract him and say, I want you to go into business, I want you to start going to work, I want you to leave learning, I don't want you to learn so much Torah, because I need my good Olam Hazeh. But she already has $1 million in her trust fund. They'll be able to say, there's nothing going to be pulling him out of his opportunity to learn. So it would seemingly be permitted. He's not saying one's better than the other, as I presented the question. He's just saying, even if the father would beat up Haaretz, but if she has a trust fund, there's money, that they know that they're going to be able to support this kid. You know, again, you could have a father-in-law promise something or say something. You don't know if he's going to do it. That's why I said a trust fund, because if it's a trust fund in her name, then it's a little more secure that she'll be able to use it the way she wants and not the way, you know, her father wants it to be used. So the point is that the chassan should be able to continue his learning. If he could continue his learning, so then he could continue his learning, even if the father is an Am Haaretz. And then ends off with something very unusual. We're not really so careful about not marrying a Bas Am Haaretz. Fascinating. That seems to be the minhag olam. You marry a girl who's a good girl. We don't. Maybe by some communities it's a little bit different. But Pesach Chu is saying that the olam is not so nizer not to marry a Bas Am Haaretz. The point is you marry a girl who will be good for you. Fine. That is the piece I wanted to share with you about marrying a balas tshuva. I want to raise a fascinating question to you. So we're coming out with, just to sum everything up, we're coming out with that certainly the way the Taz is understanding of Rashi's understanding of the Gemara, that the point of marrying a bas talmud, a Am Haaretz, is that you don't want to be, you want somebody who your wife should appreciate what Torah is, even in Olam Hazeh. That's the goal. And therefore, if you're going out with a girl who has that appreciation, then Gazinta, hey, don't worry who the father is. Now, I want to raise a fascinating question. On the other side of the coin, let's say, until now we were talking about a boy marrying a Bas Talmud Chacham. The Gemara had the following lashon: Yimkar Adam Kol Mashiyesh Lo. One second. The Gemara says that you should sell everything that you have to marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham. Okay, you want your daughter. You have a daughter. She's a wonderful girl. She's the top of her class in tag. And you want her to marry Talmud Chacham, right? But it's going to cost you money. So now what do I do? I don't have much money. So the Gemara says, take out a mortgage, sell your car, sell everything you have, and marry your daughter off to a Talmud Chacham. What's the obvious question? What's the question on this? So I saw on the Daf called the beautiful Shas Tshuva, so it's Horus Tshuva, who's a grandson, I think, of the Chasam Sofer, the great grandson of the Chasam Sofer. He asks the obvious question. Wait, you should spend all your money to marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham? Why do you want to marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham? So he points out, the idea of marrying your daughter to a Talmud Chacham is a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's a mitzvah of Uladav Kabo, right? The Torah says, Uladav Kabo, you should stick to Hashem. And Chazal say, what does it mean that you should stick yourself to Hashem? You take a piece of tape and glue and you adhere yourself to Hashem. How do you do that? The answer is to his Talmud Chachamim. You should try to connect yourself to Talmidei Chacham. You should do business with Talmidei Chachamim. You should marry a Bas Talmid Chacham, marry your daughter to a Talmid Chacham. You should connect yourself to Talmidei Chacham. That's a mitzvah in the Torah. One of the 613 mitzvahs, Ludav Kabo, to cleave to Hashem. And the way we cleave to Hashem is to cleave to Talmidei Chacham. And that is the impetus. That's the motor. That is the motor that drives our desire to marry a Talmid Chacham, for our daughters to marry a Talmid Chacham, for our sons to marry a Bas Talmid Chacham. Okay, so there's a mitzvah. Asks the grandson of the Chasam Sofer, the Sarius of the Tshuva, I don't understand. How much are you supposed to fulfill for a mitzvah? How much money, Rabbi say? How much money are you supposed to spend to fulfill a mitzvah? Beirish? How much? A fifth, a chomesh. You're supposed to spend up to one-fifth, 20% of your wealth in order to facilitate a kim ha-mitzvah. Let's say, for example, you can't afford tefillin. So what does it mean you can't afford? If you're going to have to, if 20% of your wealth will be, if your assets are, you know, $5,000, so you could afford $1,000. But if you can't buy, if your assets are less than that, and you can't buy tefillin, okay, so you're putter from the mitzvah of tefillin. You're putter from the mitzvah. You don't have to spend more than 20%, more than one-fifth on a mitzvah. Ask the Zohar Sula Tshuva, how in the world could the Gemara say to sell everything that you have to marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham? After all, that means that you pay more than a fifth. If you have to sell your house, Yimkor Kol Mashalo, those are the little words of the Gemara. You just sell everything that you have to marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham. But that's more than a fifth. That doesn't fit our general picture of how mitzvahs work. How could it be? You should have to sell, you have to sell your bungalow. You have to sell your bungalow. Okay, you can sell your bungalow to marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham. That I understand. You have to sell, a fifth of your portfolio to marry your daughter to Tal Chacham. But what do you mean, Yimkor Kol HaShelo? How could that be? How could the Gemara say Yimkor Kol HaShelo? And how could the Shulchan Aruch say Yimkor Kol HaShelo if it's more than a fifth? That's his question. Beautiful question. One second. So he says, you're right. As far as the mitzvah is concerned, that you want to cleave to Hashem, you want to cleave to his Talmud Chachamim, and therefore you want to marry your daughter to marry a Talmud Chacham, you don't have to spend more than 20%. But there's a different reason why you want to marry your daughter to a Talmud Chacham. Nothing to do with there's a mitzvah that you have to cleave to Hashem and cleave to Talmud Chacham. You want your children, you want your grandchildren to be Talmud Chachamim. That's not, forget the mitzvah. This is just what you want for yourself. So, therefore, he says, it doesn't necessarily go with the regular parameters, because you're right. Now, as far as the chiyuv is concerned, maybe you're pater. But as far as your desire to raise children, grandchilren, generations of Talmidei Chachamim, there's only one way to do it, and that's marry your daughter to a Talmid Chacham. That's one answer. Another answer, he says, is something very fascinating. Maybe the idea of marrying your daughter to a Talmud Chacham, or let me rephrase it, maybe the mitzvah of cleaving to Hashem is not a regular mitzvah. It's what we call mitzvah tamidis. L'dav kabo, you could be davik to Hashem. It's not just like, I put on tefillin this morning, I didn't. Everyone here put on the tefillin this morning, you finished your mitzvah, and you'll do it again tomorrow morning. No, dveikus to Hashem is an eternity, is every moment of our life. That every moment that we're cleaved to Hashem, to his Talmud Chachamim, that pervades every moment of our existence. If I marry my daughter to a Talmud Chacham, that is gonna that connection to the Talmud Chacham, that connection to Hashem that I'm accomplishing thereby, is throughout every moment of my life. From the time they get married to a Talmud Chacham, my whole life is gonna be filled with, connection to a Talmud Chacham. My son loves a Chasha Ben Torah, is a Talmud Chacham. Oh, so maybe for that a mitzvah to me this, maybe you do have to give more than a fifth. That's a big chiddush because that's not what Chazal say. Chazal say you only pay a fifth for a mitzvah. Here we're saying that no, maybe a certain kind of mitzvah, a mitzvah to me this, you'll pay more than a fifth. That is what the Hazoras Teshuva suggests. So that's what we see in the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim about marrying your daughter to Talmidei Chacham. Be'ez Hashem, that we'll finish with today. Be'ez Hashem, next week, we're going to get into a fascinating discussion of the Chazal that you're familiar with that says that it's a wonderful thing to marry your niece. Number one, I don't know if any of you have married your niece. I don't know if any of your children have married your great niece to fulfill this Chazal. Nowadays, we have added concerns because of genetic mutations that potentially could come, and therefore I think that overarches any need to gains that you can have from marrying your niece, which whatever the gains are, which we'll have to see next week. But some of the concern for genetic mutations would prevail over marrying your niece, that Chazal say. On the other hand, nowadays you could do a full screen of genetic screening to make sure that there won't be genetic mutations. You could even if they do marry somebody that there might be genetic problems with, you could still do something called PGD, which is pre-implantation genetic diagnosis, which allows you even after a couple is married to still ensure that the child should be of a child that doesn't have genetic mutations. It's a little more complicated than that for now, but being that the case, so should we? How come we don't marry our nieces nowadays? And the question that we're going to talk about next week, which is going to be a fascinating question, is who's your niece? That's your brother's daughter or your sister's daughter? Or is it the same? That we'll see. Be'ez Hashem will be a fascinating machlokas next week, and we'll have to see why there will be a machlokas. And I want to thank you all for joining.